Four, three,
two,
one.
Hack.
Until now, this moment, the war in Vietnam has been something other men fought. At Homestead Air Force Base in Florida, the war has been a target that doesn't fight back. A ground force that doesn't exist. But now these men of the Tactical Air Command are combat ready, and they know their job. To provide close air support to our fighting men on the ground.
F-100 is an airplane built for speed and short distances. It was the first Air Force airplane to break the sonic barrier back in 1954. And to the men who fly the F-100, it's more than just a machine. It has a personality all its own.
For every pilot, this airplane is the best one in the squadron. The best one in the air, the best one on the target. What you're seeing here high over the Pacific Ocean is the modern miracle of air-to-air refueling.
5-3 from 0-3 to you.
Roger. Reach your lock clear.
Roger, my clear then.
You're clear to the contact position. No channel coming reading. 5-3 ready.
Roger.
5-0-2, you watch fuel the same way.
That is roger. 1,000, 1,000, 1,500.
From the outside, it's a beautiful sight. Inside the cockpit, it requires precision and skill and guts. You know, if you run out of fuel, there's no way to go but down.
I still won.
Roger.
Northeast of Saigon on the South China Sea, and it's the home away from home of the 31st Tactical Fighter Wing. For 1 year,
for until they're shot out of the skies by the Viet Cong, the men of the 309th who have just flown their machines across the Pacific will fly their daily missions in support of the ground troops from this wind-swept sand pile, along with their brother squadrons, the 306th, the 308th. Because it's the kind of war it is, a war of infiltration, a war where the enemy is everywhere, TUIWA is a U.S. oasis practically cut off from the surrounding community. The other side of the barbed wire is off limits to the men of the 31st. Beyond it, life goes on almost as usual for the South Vietnamese. Inside of it, except for the distances separating the men from their families, and except for the fact that when they go out on their missions, they're shooting and being shot at, life goes on almost as usual for the men of the 31st. The important thing is never to forget, if you want to stay alive, that somebody out there doesn't like you. After the long, lonely flight from Homestead, it's very probable that the men of the 309th are just too tired to think about war. But it's here, and that's why they're here. And in less than 24 hours, they'll be flying into it. But for this moment, at least, it's just like home.
Why don't we see you in trouble now?
Why don't they do it?
I didn't think we'd have any damn city valve.
Hey, hello.
How's it going?
Real good, sir.
Welcome to TUIWA.
What a
nasty
place you guys have got here.
No, this is a bad place.
Nice.
Oh,
man.
Welcome to the fort, George.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Glad to see you, man.
What's the boy, Georgie?
Sir.
How's Ann?
She's fine.
Oh, good. Yeah.
When this program was filmed in February, Colonel John Austin was commander of the 1st Brigade of the 4th Infantry Division. His troops are spread out over 50 square miles of Vietnamese mountain jungle right north of TUIWA. Their war is dirty and tough and dangerous. For them, tactical air support's a matter of life and death.
Now, this is my second tour in Vietnam. So in a sense, I'm four-time combat type. One of the first things you learn when you've been in the mill that many times is that nobody does it by themselves. This enemy that we fight out here is basically, you might say, two forms. We have the larger North Vietnamese army formations, which are more compact and which must be hit with more force. And then we have the hundreds of VC, both the local guerrillas who stay near the riverbeds, the roads, and the towns, and the main force, Vietnamese Viet Cong battalions. Each must be fought in a different way. Strike the main forces, the big fella out in the mountains, with heavy force. We dig out the individual VC by guerrilla tactics ourselves. We fragment down into small groups and track him along these trails, and finally hunt him, kill him. If we get hit on the ground, the chopper brings our man out. One of the great differences in this war, in the soldier's morale, is the fact that he knows if he gets hit, badly, that he's going to be gotten out of that spot he's in by a helicopter. And the helicopter knows it can get in there because of the air cover above it.
When you first get here, you know, you start hearing these sounds, and every little peep you hear, well, you sit up in bed and kind of wonder, well, is he coming in to get me? Or and then after a while, 2 or 3 weeks here, you kind of get used to the noises, and it doesn't bother you after that. But when you first get here, you're in bed asleep, the next guy in the tent next to you has to go out and go to the dawn. Well, he'll walk between the tents, and you'll swear it with somebody out there coming in after you, just to hear his footsteps going through the sand.
Yeah. The thing that scared me the most when I go off the plane at Tonsonut, I heard small arms fire. I wanted to go right back in the plane and go home.
When we first got here, there was a bunch of guys that had these NCOs in their tents. They were just trying to come in their tents at night after the lights go out. They just about get stabbed by an NCO. noises like this. It's real dangerous sometimes.
There's people back in space could see this here.
I do.
Right.
They don't know it. Some people don't think there's a war going on.
That's right. This draft card burning and protesting. I don't see any sense to it. If those people could only see what was going on over here, they just have a different view about it. Noah, it's that kind of war. A confusion. I don't think that I even know enough about it to describe it to anyone else. It's just, like I say, it's confusion over here.
There's no fun lines to it.
You don't know who you're fighting.
Right.
Well,
that's
the difference. Everybody you see is either enemy or friendly. You can't tell because all the people are the same. Look just alike. Most of them act alike. Like they walk on the base and you don't ever know it.
Ask Alpha.
Major Dick Lugi is the air liaison officer with the 1st Brigade of the 4th Infantry Division. He's a former fighter pilot, and now he's a FAC. That's a forward air controller. Flies a small, unarmed, single-engine airplane at treetop level, spotting the VC for the ground troops and marking the target for the fighter pilots. This is a war that's fought like no other war has ever been fought. There are no lines. There's no enemy. Until you find him, or until he find you. And when a company or a platoon moves out, you take the smallest possible risk. You ask for tactical air support on the target before jumping off.
Item 7, Sider. Sider, 10. Bravo, 301.5. Charlie, 335. Flash.
Because he's flown over the target area, because he knows every single inch of the ground, the forward air controller decides what kind of bombs will do the best job in a pre-planned airstrike.
Napalm. Rocket. 20 millimeters. Operation Adams. No friendly troops within 1,000 meters.
Item 10. Charlie.
Roger, I copy.
Aircraft 153 and 436, they should be loaded.
And finally, it's up to the men who fly the jets to pass the ammunition.
Keep in mind what you got. We're going to brief for napalm and high drag, and if you get a spare, you'll have low drag, and you'll have to stay on your toes. Okay, pre-flight personal equipment. We want to get out to the aircraft 30 minutes prior to start engine, so that'll be 9:45. So let's leave here about 9:40 and get over to PE and give our parachutes a good check, look over our personal equipment, load up our 38 with tracer ammo. Your takeoff speed will be 180. Your rotation speed will be 155. Refusal speed is not applicable because of the back 12. Your line speed is 118 at 2,500 foot down the runway, which is what coincides with the 6,000 foot remaining marker.
I don't think that I'm afraid. I never think about it. No guys get killed, and it's like car accidents that always happens to the other guy. Realize that they're shooting back at us, and we do everything we can to make our chances of getting hit a lot less. The guys on the ground are the ones that are really doing the big job in this war. They're the people that have to live on the ground and sleep on the ground and stay dirty for days on end, whereas we have the clean sheets at night. And an officer's club to eat and drink in the evening. Flying over there is like fighting an antiseptic type war. You really can't see anything that's going on most of the time. We're flying too fast and normally flying too high to see things on the ground, and we depend to a great degree on what the forward air controller and the light aircraft tells us. Most of the time we're not able to see anything at all, and we drop our bombs where he tells us to, tells us where the target is. If there are people down there, we certainly don't think about killing people. I know that I think only of trying to put the bombs where he wants them, and trying to do the best job I can and hit as close to the target as I can. And I never really think of maybe it's the bombs would kill anybody that was on the ground. Of course, we know they're down there, or else we wouldn't be there.
There are times when the war seems far away. There are other times. The sweating it out when one of your own doesn't make it back.
How long is it down there? About 2 hours.
There's all kinds of echoes up there. They had Navy and us and two saber flights and then the litter flight and A1s and guinea birds and A4s, just all kinds of aircraft. And if he's near the chute, there's no problem at all seeing the chute. We couldn't see him. But I did hear an A1, Hobo 35, said, "I've got you in sight, I've got mirror flashes, and I have you in sight, 7-1. Turn off your beeper." But no answer, no comments. There's a village. He's sitting right on the side of a hill. It's a hill over here and a hill over here where the gun, the automatic weapons are. He's sitting right down in here, and the river runs over here, and there's a village right over here.
And the things I hear that he's
on the other side.
Yeah, it's about
half a mile, I'd say.
The pack didn't see anybody trying to get in around there today.
No, sir, they couldn't. It's pretty rugged terrain. It'd be a good place for a pickup. But you couldn't see the people in the A1 right down there with him. And he said, "I'm right over the pilot now. Do you have me?"
I had him. I had the chute.
Okay. I could see the chute from 20,000 feet.
Well, I hope so. I sure think he entered before dark.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Champion at the bit a minute ago because of the time delay, but there's some delay in
reporting and communications.
Well, they got their eyeballs on him. They had their eyeballs on him up there. And it's a matter of them trying to get into the area. And they've already lost one guy and had a crewman hurt trying to get in there. So if you'll just hang around or if you go over to the club or something, why, give us a call, let us know where you're at by phone so we can get a hold of you and we'll go to town. I don't know whether you want to prepare some of the stuff now or not. I just didn't wait till we find out for sure. Okay. Danang's going to call us if they get through to Hillsboro, I guess, right?
URC-10 doesn't work.
Yeah.
flying. I said, well, I'll come off the schedule because you might not make it back. He was going up there, and I meant he was going to land at Da Nang or someplace.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that's too close.
Good to be back.
Good to see you, Cousin.
This is his third war, and he was shot down over enemy territory and plucked out of the jungle by the brave men who fly and die so their comrades can live.
That was a long time, 4 hours, huh?
420,
wasn't it?
That's great stuff.
Welcome back, sir. Hey, thanks, all right?
Well, I'm glad to have you back, sir.
Hey, Charlie, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
We'll go get something to eat.
He and the man of the 31st have much to be thankful for.
We're
thy house, O Lord, we come at this solemn hour, acknowledging thy eternal presence. With steadfast adoration we praise thy holy name and worship thee in spirit and in truth. May we turn in our hymn to hymn number 166. May we stand together as we sing.
Fight a war in a lot of ways, sometimes with guns, sometimes with gifts. Not all the casualties of this war have even yet discovered the pain. These are the children, the orphans, the homeless. These GIs, whose job it is to keep the jets flying, they made these toys at night on their own time. Nobody asked them to do it. And on a quiet Sunday, they get their reward in the warmth of a grateful child's smile, the touch of a small hand stretched out in friendship. And with luck, as the years pass and the boy becomes the man, the girl becomes the woman, they'll remember this Sunday. They'll remember these strangers as their friends, not their enemy. As some part of this war will have been won without a shot being fired. Sometimes the war is a waiting game. Around the clock, the fighter pilots of the 31st are on alert, ready to deliver an immediate airstrike in support of the men on the ground when they need it. And the waiting is the hardest part of the job.
But then when the call comes, they're in the air in less than 12 minutes, on target as fast as their jets will take them there. In a few seconds, these men of the 1st Brigade of the 4th Infantry Division, moving carefully, warily across peaceful-looking Vietnamese countryside, will be pinned down by enemy fire. Unable to move, caught out in the open, they'll call for air support, and they'll get it. Comes in loud and clear on the command post of the 1st Brigade. It's a request for an immediate airstrike.
This is Charger
1600.
He decides what ordnance would be most effective and passes the request on to the District Air Support Center, or DASC in Air Force talk.
DASC Alpha, you have automatic weapons fire? Okay, can you give me a target? Roger, stand scrambling right now.
Three one, that ought to take you up to about noon.
Three long?
Stand by one.
Scramble letter 01.
Go ahead for information.
For this mission, he calls on the 31st Tactical Fighter Wing at Tui Hoa. And within minutes, the men on alert are in the air to support those men on the ground. Flies in to direct the airstrike.
There are times when you fly around here, and I think any pilot will agree with me on this. When you fly when the sun is shining and you look down, the intense beauty of the country from the air, not from the ground, but from the air, is something that you... Well, when you look at it, you swear there's nothing wrong down there. There can't be. It's just too beautiful. You fly up and down the beaches, especially in the area where I am, on the beach area. nothing disturbing it, and it's just, it looks peaceful.
Directed to the target by the fact, the war becomes the fighter pilot's very personal war. He knows that the men down there are his men, and that's why he flew across the Pacific, to be with them. The war that breaks all the rules. In the midst of it, you try to crowd a lifetime into 5 days of rest and recreation in Hawaii with your wife. You must go back into battle. You know the second parting will probably be more painful than the first. But Don Ossery and his buddy, Captain Brad Terry, met their wives in Honolulu on R&R, and this is how it was for them during the 5 days away from the war.
Oh, my God.
their way back to war. And the women, as they always have, will go back and wait for them to come home.
Well, that's about it. I think these young people are doing a good job for their country. I think we should be proud of them. An awkward little girl one day, a fashion model sensation the next. She's sprightly, successful, and 17. See Twiggy in New York Thursday night at 8, Central Time, 7 o'clock on ABC. Later on that evening, enjoy an encore showing of the powerful Cold War drama, Dare I Weep, Dare I Mourn, starring James Mason on ABC Stage 67, Thursday here on ABC.
Some drivers already eliminated because of the many spins and slides that have taken place. This is the main straightaway at the Trenton International Speedway, and I am Chris Economaki, who will be bringing you the color and excitement of this 150-mile race. The winner of this event last year was Roger Ward, a two-time Indianapolis winner, who is with us today to help us bring the color and excitement of this national championship event. Roger, what can we look for?
Well, Chris, we should have a very exciting race. We've got lots of different kinds of automobiles, about five different kinds of engines, so it should be a very exciting race. The boys will be trying the thing that they've been working on all winter.
And it's the last race before the Indianapolis 500, a shakedown. And it'll be starting momentarily. As mentioned earlier, time trials have been a problem, and we caught some of the troublesome action. Here was Bobby Unser, a many-time Pikes Peak winner in his rear-engine Ford Rizlone special. Bobby is one of the top drivers here, shooting for a starting berth in the 150-miler. And there the back end of the car dances to the right, then to the left in a full spin, and he kisses the guardrail with the left rear wheel. He unbuckles his shoulder harness, a disgusted driver here, but the car, not damaged. Norm Brown slides, coming out of turn two in car 49. Roger, he's a promising rookie, isn't he?
Yes, he certainly is, Chris. There must be a slick spot there because it seems like everybody's having trouble right there. But this boy has had a lot of fast laps in practice, and maybe he's just trying too hard.
Well, it's his first big opportunity. He's a super modified driver from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and this is his first big ride, the Weinberger Home Special. And down at turn one, he loses control again, clutches the fence and shears the nose off of number 49, ending that car's competition for the day. So rookie Norm Brown will have to wait a while before making his big league debut. Racing as a teammate to A.J. Foyt today is Joe Leonard, a former motorcycle champion from San Jose, California. He pulls out of the pits and accelerates car number 82, a rear-engine Ford, onto the raceway. Heads over towards the backstretch. Suddenly, the engine starts to over-rev. He spins and just misses the guardrail. We'll be back. More action from the Trenton 150 in just a moment. What an active
Like me, water active. See? Mixes with water. No greasy buildup here or on your hair. Just wet combing cleans away dirt and dandruff.
Most natural hair you've ever seen. Hair holds natural cause it's called.